We'd like to welcome everyone out to the Heather Ridge Sixth Ward Sacrament Meeting, and especially for those who are visiting for the first time. Presiding at this meeting will be President Anderson, who's on the stand with us visiting, and I will be conducting Bishop Roberts. We have a couple of items, announcements. There is a youth family history activity, which will be on July 12th. It's ages 11 through 13. It'll be at 10 a.m. This is in your bulletin. And then there will also be one August 16th, ages 14 and up, and that will be at 12:30 to 2:30. This is at the Linden Family History Center. So we would encourage all the youth to attend that. Also, we will have our teacher council today on the second and third hour. The second hour will be in the overflow like normal, but then the third hour, because the elders' quorum takes over our overflow, it will be held in the where the high priest used to meet here on the is that the west or north or south? I don't know. Okay, so we will open with hymn 239, Choose the Right, and the invocation will be offered by Brother Casey Dupree.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful that we could come here as a congregation and listen to thy word. We're thankful, Father, for our families and for this restored gospel and for the chance to take the sacrament. Father, we ask thee at this time to bless those who are in need and to inspire us to help those who are in need. Father, we ask thee to bless us with the Spirit this day, that we can prepare ourselves for the week to come, that we can feed ourselves spiritually. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have a great program ahead of us. Our first speaker will be Heidi Waite. Then we will have an intermediate hymn 7, Israel, Israel, God is Calling. And our concluding speaker will be Ann Johnson.
Some of you may remember the David Letterman segment, Will It Float? And he'd have a big tank of water up on the stage, and they would put crazy things in there, and they'd say, will it float or will it not? And then they would put it in there. I would like to describe a little buoyancy experiment that many of you probably have tried or seen at school, and that's one with an orange. So we took an unpeeled orange, and we put it in a tub of water, and that orange floated. And we thought, well, I wonder what will happen if we remove the peeling and then try it again. But the orange sinks when we remove the peeling. We found out that it floats because the rind is porous and it has a lot of air pockets, and that those air pockets are what make it buoyant in the water. I'd like to relate the orange peel to the protection that we receive when we remember the covenants that we have made during the saving ordinances that were performed by the priesthood for us. Baptism, confirmation, ordination to the Melchizedek priesthood for men, the temple endowment, and the marriage sealing are the ordinances that are essential to our exaltation. When harvesting oranges, it's important to avoid cutting and bruising the orange. Every time this happens, the orange must be used immediately or the fruit will rot. Sometimes it may even be used for a different purpose than was originally intended, like juicing instead of eating. A scar, however, may develop here and there on the orange as it brushes against the tree limbs, but it does not affect the fruit inside. Our lives are much the same way. We can have a deep cut that infects us, but through repentance, we are able to still make something of our lives and learn from our mistakes. Many of us can overcome the changes caused by the scars in our lives. Sometimes little nicks of sin are not noticeable to those observing us, and we can still float. But these nicks are entry points that can still allow rot into our lives. If we feel immune to what is going on around us because we have received the saving ordinances and we have the necessary protection to float in the world, we become casual about things of importance. As Elder Taniela B. Wakolo stated in his conference talk, casualness leads to casualties. Did you know that oranges can contaminate each other when they are left in standing water, even though they have protection from their peels? We used to think that oranges were too acidic to harbor bacteria, but that is simply not so. At any point in processing, an orange can be contaminated. At any point in our lives, we can also be contaminated by negative thoughts and teachings of others if we let our guard down. It is very important to cultivate a nourishing environment and never let ourselves be open to the bugs that will destroy us. One of the best ways to keep ourselves protected is through regular temple attendance. So that is what I would like to focus on today. Since everyone can have blessings from temple attendance, either directly or indirectly. Did you know that if you just put an orange seed in the ground, that it could produce a lemon or a grapefruit? Citrus fruits are weird like that. An orange grower must carefully graft trees that are known to produce oranges. He must also prepare and protect the growing conditions. Just like the orange grower, we as members of the church need to prepare ourselves each time we go to the temple, not just for ourselves, but as a proxy for others. It is important to ensure that those on the other side of the veil have as joyous an experience in receiving their endowment as we did when we received ours. All of the prophets, some more than others, have commanded us to prepare ourselves to go to the temple. President Hinckley said, "I urge our people everywhere with all the persuasiveness of which I am capable to live worthy to hold a temple recommend, to secure one and regard it as a precious asset, and to make a greater effort to go to the house of the Lord and partake of the Spirit and the blessing to be had therein." When my mom died, things were complicated. It was horrible, and my temple recommend slid. And one day I had this feeling that I should go to the temple, and I just felt like I needed to be there and I needed to have those blessings and feel that peace. When I got to the temple and I presented my recommend, I found that it had expired. I was heartbroken. I have never felt so horrible. And I thought, how would it be if I get to the gates of heaven and I am not worthy or allowed to come in? From that time on, it quickly became an asset in my life to have a temple recommend that is current. so that when I feel the need to go and receive those blessings and have that peace, I can. President Howard W. Hunter taught us that temple worthiness ensures that our lives are in harmony with the will of the Lord, and we are attuned to receive his guidance in our lives. And President Russell M. Nelson made this invitation. He said, "I invite you prayerfully to consider what kind of sacrifice, and preferably a sacrifice of time, you can make to do more family history and temple work this year." Now, if you're born into the church, preparation to go to the temple begins long before you actually go to receive your endowments. And today, many young people can participate more easily in the ordinances of baptism and going to the temple. I wish I had known in my time that I could have gone into the temple, into the waiting room. That would have helped me a lot, to just be able to go into the waiting room, not even into the actual temple, the waiting room that's outside it, and sit there and receive some semblance of peace. If I'd known that, I think that would have helped me a lot in a time when I was back in college and my testimony was faltering and I was seeking for something. And this was long before I actually received my endowment. As mentioned before in the quote by President Hunter, if we are worthy to go to the temple, we are in harmony with the Lord. In the past, the president of the church used to sign all of the recommends because worthiness to enter the temple is so important. Since 1891, for obvious reasons, recommends are now signed by bishoprics and stake presidencies, and they base worthiness on the same set of questions that everyone is asked in order to make the determination whether we are worthy or not. But only we know if we are for sure. These are some of the things that you want to focus on before going to the temple. You must believe in God the Eternal Father, in his Son Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. You must sustain the general authorities and local authorities of the church. You must be morally clean to enter into the temple. You must ensure that there is nothing in your relationship with family members that is out of harmony with the teachings of the church. To enter the temple, you must be honest in your dealings with others. And I would say, honest with yourself. And if you have repented of something, are you forgiving of yourself? To qualify for a temple recommend, you should strive to do your duty in the church, attending your sacrament, priesthood, and other meetings. To enter the temple, you must be a full tithe payer and live the word of wisdom. We should never push for a recommend. If our leaders feel that we are unworthy to go, we need to respect that. They are acting as agents for our Heavenly Father. In Doctrine and Covenants section 97, the Lord has stated that we are not to let any unclean thing come into the temple. And he tells us that if it be defiled, I will not come into it, and my glory shall not be there, for I will not come into unholy temples. We must be wary of those who want to change eternal principles in the church based on changes in the world. Run from them. Isaiah prophesied that the earth will become defiled because they have changed the ordinance. And a related warning revealed to the prophet Joseph Smith was that some draw near to the Lord with their lips, and they teach for doctrines the commandments of men, having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Preparing to go to the temple is preparing us to understand the spiritual things of the temple. From the beginning, Heavenly Father has tried to have sacred places on earth to commune with, teach, and bless his children. Things we learn and review in the temple will help us receive revelation and inspiration. They will help us meditate, ponder, and find peace in our lives. When we get there, we need to focus on the work part of temple work and not on personal benefits. Growing oranges takes work. protecting the growing environment, repairing machinery, and training workers are just a few of the things that must be done. It is no different for us when getting ready to attend and to do the actual work in the temple. Elder David E. Sorensen had the opportunity to work with President Hinckley in the temple department. He said that President Hinckley suggested we not focus so much on the personal benefits of attending the temple, but rather focus on temple work as work. While the personal blessings from the temple attendance are numerous, we must not lose sight of the fact that it is work and requires commitment and duty. Elder Sorensen also continued with the following: if we go to the temple solely for ourselves, we may actually be short-circuiting access to maximum spiritual benefits. Think about the things we do when we attend the temple. Are they similar to or different from activities we typically call work? Often, work is difficult, challenging, and sometimes tedious. Otherwise, we might think of it as play. Work requires us to be engaged in the process. Perhaps along these lines, if we're finding our temple attendance mainly a passive activity, we may not be gaining all that we could. Furthermore, an attitude of service may help us see old things in new light with multiple levels of meaning. I felt very selfish after I read the talk that Elder Sorensen gave, and this was back in 2003, so it was one that I almost passed over because the information wasn't current enough. But I have been very grateful. I've been selfish, but I've been grateful for the ordinances that I've received in my life, but I've shirked my duties in finding ancestors that are unable to receive these ordinances without the help from someone on earth. Our ancestors can't be made perfect without us, and we can't be made perfect without them. They are like the oranges on the tree that are waiting for someone to pick them and help them. Hopefully, they won't rot and drop like the oranges do, though. President Hunter taught us that the temple is the great symbol of our membership. And I ask myself, am I doing all that I can with that membership? Luckily, finding the names of ancestors is easier than ever. And we have messages that are repeated and repeated and repeated. So hopefully, one of these days, we'll get it. But I thought most of my family's work was done. Everyone told me that it was pretty well done. We had things back to Adam in one of my lines, they said. But I just learned recently that we can do work for our cousins. And I have a lot of cousins. Both of my grandfathers were not members of the church. They were not members of the pioneer trekking people. And there are tons of cousins. In fact, Family Search sent me three names just last week. And I'm getting some together for the kids to do some baptisms, and then we'll do some of those work. I also learned about a family name change that occurred between between brothers and a sister that we didn't know about. That can make all the difference as we search for things. I'm not trying to send anyone on a guilt trip. I'm just saying that we need to start somewhere, and starting small is better than nothing. For example, getting familiar with the Family Search app, if you haven't, is one thing you could do today. If your work truly is done, start adding stories. My father tells me stories all the time. He's 80 years old. These need to be recorded. The church is giving us more tools each week to make this work easier and to make it a family affair. What a great way to impress the importance of taking out our endowments and marrying in the temple if we're working together on this work as a family. So, what is preventing us from attending the temple? Our endowment is a gift. That's what it means. What do we need to overcome? How do we create an environment to help us resist Satan's temptations? So many questions that I need to study and I need to get answers for. But here are a few of my parting ideas. Getting those oranges through a season without freezing, being destroyed by bugs, or getting them picked in a very short time frame are huge challenges. There are definitely some challenges that we are facing or will face in trying to get to the temple too. Some of our challenges are mental. When we were highly encouraged to find our own family names and bring those to the temple, I felt like I couldn't do it. So I went fewer times. I felt like I couldn't go because I wasn't bringing my own names. I know that's weird, but that's one of those mental kinds of things that prevent us. When we start examining it, and we're like, really? You know, and why was I thinking that for years and months and things? Health challenges are real. And the last few years, I've really noticed those as I've gotten older. When I had my back issues and later a surgery, I understood this on a very personal level. I couldn't sit through a session. I found that initiatory work was a great way to serve, but I missed the endowment session. So I talked to the temple workers and I asked them if they could place me at the back of the room so I could stand up, or on the side of the room by the wall so that I could stand up anytime that I needed to. And, you know, sometimes all you have to do is ask. And they did it. And yes, it's embarrassing when I stand up in the middle of things when we're not supposed to be standing up. But Heavenly Father knows that I'm there, and the person I am proxy for knows that I am there, and they know why I am doing that. Some may not want to go to the temple because they don't want to wear the garments and change their style of dress. Think of those garments as a way to create an environment to resist Satan's temptations. Moses taught the Israelites how to create this type of environment by having them wear frontlets, which were little parchment papers with scripture reminders that were tied to the body, the arms, and some of them were even across the forehead. They also put reminders on houses and fence posts. Our garments do that very thing. It's like we are taking a part of the temple with us every day. You will learn more about what they mean and their importance when you go to the temple. When you consistently wear them appropriately, they won't be a burden, but they will be a protection to you. And I've had many friends who can testify to that, of how their garments have been a protection to them. Attend the temple for your children. Don't decide not to go to the temple because you have to find a babysitter for them. You may not be able to go physically to the temple as often, but you can let your children see you doing family history work, and you can bear your testimony to them about temple attendance and show them how you honor your covenants by wearing modest clothing and creating a safe haven for them in your home. For those of you who are just plain scared to go because of the commitments you will be making, do not be afraid. If you've been living the gospel and you are worthy, there is nothing to fear. When you enter those doors, it should feel familiar to you. And the things that you will learn there will remind you that you are a child of God. And I can testify to that. It's a true thing. Many of us do not have time, but we can do baptisms. Those are shorter. We can do initiatory work. We can do indexing. We can organize family members who can go to the temple to take the names that we've found in family search. And everyone can pray for our ministering families and call into the temple and put their names on the prayer roll. That can be done by everyone and anyone. If you're worried about the choices of your family members, we have some in mind that we've been worried about. This quote from Lorenzo Snow was comforting to me. He said, "Therefore, mourn not, because all your sons and daughters do not follow in the path that you have marked out to them, or give heed to your counsels. Inasmuch as we succeed in securing eternal glory and stand as saviors and as kings and priests to our God, we will save our posterity. Maybe not in this life, but later on. I could describe things about the temple all day, but just like the orange experiment, you either have to experience it or you have to do the experiment. Remember, Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ want you close to them. They know you personally and they love you completely. Your joy is their joy. And they want to guide you, inspire you, and help you along the way to learning about your plan for happiness. We can best remember the temple covenants when we return again and again and help others to get theirs, their endowments and their saving ordinances. Just like workers after the orange harvest, we will experience satisfaction for a job well done, and a feeling that we have been good and faithful servants. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let me get organized here. We are remodeling at our home. And so when I prepare a talk, I like to be really specific. I have several learning challenges. And so I like to make sure that it's all outlined and written out, and then I like to practice it and practice it. Well, Dave called me last Sunday. We're in the middle of a remodel. My daughter just had a baby. I'm home for only a short time, and then I will be going back to Arizona to help her more because the baby had a rough beginning, and we're going to make sure that she has all she needs to survive and thrive. But having all those things on my plate, I didn't have the time to do what I usually like to do. So I still accepted this opportunity, but we're going to see how this is going to go. So let me get my papers in order here. I'll put this one over here and this one over here. Heidi's talk was profound. It gave us so much to think about and to ponder about preparing for the temple. I had the same talks. I will add some additional thoughts from my experiences of the temple. One of the earliest memories that I have is I was born and raised in Southern California and grew up in the Los Angeles Temple District. And when that temple had the open house, my family was not, they were members of the church, but they were not active. And so my mother took me to the open house of the Los Angeles Temple. And I can remember, still remember, what I felt as I attended that open house. I can remember the feeling that was surrounded that experience, and that stayed with me and was a drawing power. I, my entire life, have attended church and participated in all of the programs of church, and although my family didn't, they were always supportive. And so I learned from all of my teachers about the temple and about preparing to go to the temple. And it always resonated with me as I had experienced, just on a feeling level, the beauty of the Los Angeles temple when I had the experience to go through at the open house. President Monson reminds us that the all-important and crowning blessings of membership in the church are those blessings which we receive in the temple of God. Temples bring joy to the faithful, wherever they are built. And my husband then suggested that because of the lack of time to do a talk or preparation like I usually like to do, he said, "Ann, just share what you love about the temple and share your testimony." So I want to share with you what I love about the temple. And this goes along, you know, Heidi talked about preparation. There are so many things that prepare us to go into the temple and receive the blessings of the temple and participate in the ordinances and covenants of the temple. I love the beauty of the grounds, morning, noon, or night. I serve as an ordinance worker, and I serve on the early morning shift. So I drive to the temple in the dark much of the year. Only a short space, I'm driving to the temple in the light. And the temple is all lit up with lights. And when I walk in the morning, the grounds are softly lit, and you can see the flowers and the lawns and all of the landscaping around in kind of that wonderful soft glow of the light. This is a preparation for what we're going to experience when we go into the temple. It starts there. Then we walk into the temple and we're greeted by a temple worker who checks our recommend, and they have a smile on their face. They're warm, they're inviting, they are happy to see you come in and participate in this temple work. And that is an encouraging thing, to return and return again and have that feeling. Another part of the preparation to then receive the ordinances of the temple. And then you walk in a little further, and temples are beautifully furnished. And Sister Ashton and Brother Ashton and Brother and Sister Livingstone have added to the Provo Temple, where I serve as an ordinance worker, so much beautiful art. If you haven't had or taken time when you've gone to the temple to just walk through the foyer and the halls, these areas are available to you to walk in on the second floor, to walk through and take a moment to look at the art that has been added in the Provo Temple. It will enhance your experience. It will enrich your experience. It will also add to your preparation to participate in the ordinances and covenants of the temple. It is beautiful. Then President Monson reminds us, with all of that, part of the preparation, says, temples are much more than stone and mortar. They are filled with faith and fasting. They are built of trials and testimonies, and they are sanctified by service and sacrifice. And that is a truth that we learn and that we experience as we participate in temple worship. Another thing I love about the temple is I love being an ordinance worker. I do. I didn't think I would. It took me a long time to become an ordinance worker. I've been thinking about it for years and years and years. But finally, President Evans, when they opened the new Provo City Center and Temple and the Payson Temple, well, that drained the Provo Temple of ordinance workers. And he, you know, he said to us in state conference, he said, we need ordinance workers. And it just struck my heart. I said, okay, we're needed. That now's the time for me to step up and to serve as an ordinance worker. And it is a blessing in my life. I love my friends and my fellow temple workers. And I'm 70 plus years old. I love the fact that I can still get up at 4:30 in the morning and go to the temple. And it's interesting to me because I don't usually get up at 4:30 in the morning anymore. You know, when you have little kids and stuff like that and all kinds of different responsibilities. I did that a lot, but it wasn't so hard then. So I get up at 4:30 and I get there by 6. And if I do that, then before our prayer meeting, the sisters gather in the room and we sing. We'll sing 4 or 5 hymns in preparation for that prayer meeting. It's an astounding experience. I figure it's like my energy drink of living water for preparing for that temple service and my day. And then I serve. I serve till 11 o'clock doing several different jobs in the temple. And I come out, and I just always have such energy, and that lasts till about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I'm a dead person. But I love that fact that I can do that. I love the patrons. Now, is it just the Provo Temple? I love the patrons, from teens to seniors. And I love that we get to serve in this temple and be ordinance workers, where we have the missionaries from the MTC coming in there. They bring an incredible spirit into that temple. If any of you have sat in an endowment session that is predominantly missionaries, you know what I'm talking about. It's an incredible spirit that is there. And the BYU students. And my own family. This Wednesday, a young man that has lived with Peter and I will be sealed to his bride in the Payson Temple. And we are going to attend and be witnesses and accompany him in that experience. It has been a joy to watch Marco grow in the gospel and to see him face the challenges of his life and see how he's been nurtured a great deal by the Misbach family and by his commitment and pursuing of the gospel path. Now he's been able to take out his endowments, and he and Mariah will be married and sealed on Wednesday, and he will continue to move on in that gospel path. All blessings that are provided for us through the temple. I love the spirit that lifts, that teaches, that comforts, that refines, that strengthens, that heals, and fills me with love for my Heavenly Father and His Son and my fellow man and myself. that I experience in the temple, and I know that that is available to each and every one of you. I love the symbolism of the temple. At first, I didn't have a great understanding of it, and it was very difficult for me, and I struggled with it. But my mentors, as I was a young person, I went through the temple when I was 26 years old. I hadn't gone on a mission. I had a roommate who we worked in Los Angeles, and she had gone through prior to when I had. We were single. We weren't going through because we were getting married. But I felt strongly it was time that I went through. So I was 26 years old when I went through. And that was, it was just so new to me, this symbolic teaching of the temple. But what I was told was, return to the temple, listen, pray for understanding, and be patient, and you'll be blessed. And so that's the path I took. And now I can look back at 70 plus years old, and the abundance of the blessings are incredible. My life has been so rich and so blessed. I have been strengthened. I have learned. I have been taught to be a better individual and to be more committed to my Heavenly Father and to His plan. President Monson here reminds us that, where's that? Got him out of order. The world can be a challenging and a difficult place in which to live. We are often surrounded by that which would drag us down. As you and I go to the holy houses of God, as we remember the covenants we make within, we will be more able to bear every trial and to overcome every temptation. In this sacred sanctuary, we will find peace, we will be renewed and fortified. That is so very true. That is my experience with participating in these in this temple work. Okay, and I love to hear my little grandchildren sing. I love to see the temple. I was driving down I-15 with my 2-year-old granddaughter, and we were going to a ceiling in the Payson Temple, and I was in charge of taking care of her because her mother and dad were already down there at the temple. And I just came later for some reason. Anyway, we're driving down the temple, and I said, "Oh, Julia, there's the temple." And she said, she started singing, "I love to see the temple. I'm going there someday to feel the Holy Spirit, to listen and to pray. The temple is a holy place, a place of love and beauty. I'll prepare myself while I am young. It is my sacred duty." 2 years old. But obviously at home they sang that song. And in Campy, she was still in nursery. You know, she was still in nursery then. So it must have been singing it at home. But what, how that touched me. How that, I suggest to you adults to memorize the words to that song. And to keep you focused on those things that are most important as you deal with all of the responsibilities and challenges that you have in this everyday world. You sing that song and get refocused on what's important and in an eternal perspective. And you can sing it. You can sing it this way. You can sing, I love to see the temple. I'm going there Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday to feel the Holy Spirit, to listen and to pray. Okay. All right. Then moving kind of in a little bit of a different direction, Elder Brenlin talked about family history and temple work. Let me read this. I'm going to go over these blessings, these experiences that are available to each and every one of us in temple work. As we participate in family history and temple work today, we also lay claim to healing blessings promised by prophets and apostles. These blessings are also breathtakingly, listen to the way he describes this, are breathtakingly amazing because of their scope, specificity, and consequence in mortality. This long list includes these blessings: increased understanding of the Savior and his atoning sacrifice, increased influence of the Holy Ghost to strengthen and direct, to feel strength and direction in our own lives, increased faith so that conversion to the Savior becomes deep and abiding, increased ability and motivation to learn and repent because of an understanding of who we are, where we come from, and a clearer vision of where we're going. Increased refining, sanctifying, and moderating influences in our hearts. Increased joy through an increased ability to feel the love of the Lord. Increased family blessings, no matter our current, past, or future family situation, or how imperfect our family tree may be. Increased love and appreciation for ancestors and living relatives, so we no longer feel alone. Increased power to discern that which needs healing, and thus, with the Lord's help, serve others. Increased protection from temptations and the intensifying influence of the adversary. And increased assistance to mend troubled, broken, or anxious hearts and make the world, and make the wounded whole. If you have prayed for any of these blessings, participate in family history and temple work. As you do so, your prayers will be answered. When ordinances are performed on behalf of the deceased, God's children on earth are healed. No wonder President Russell M. Nelson, in his first message as president of the church, declared, "Your worship in the temple and your service there for your ancestors will bless you with increased personal revelation and peace and will fortify your commitment to stay on the covenant path." We are indeed greatly blessed with the temples in our midst. Then let's remember that this great plan of our Heavenly Father is a plan of happiness, and the temple is the crowning part of that plan. Elder Bednar said, "Heavenly Father's great plan of happiness include the doctrine, the ordinances, the covenants, and the exceeding great and precious promises whereby we can become partakers of the divine nature. One of the last experiences that I want to share is, many of you are familiar with and know of our experience of adopting our son, Julio. We met him when he was 13. We finally got him out of Mexico, and the adoption was complete when he was 14. From the time he was 14 to almost 21, he worked on becoming a member of the church. Peter and I were very resolute in not forcing, you know, not forcing him to do this. He had to make the choice himself to become a member of the church. He had grown up in a Catholic orphanage and been taught by wonderful, loving nuns the Catholic doctrines. And so he struggled back and forth with what he was learning. He challenged many missionaries in that 7 years trying to get the testimony that he wanted to have in his heart to join the church, because he knew about being in an eternal family. He understood that, and that is something he wanted so deeply. He wanted to be a part of a family, and just like the sons and daughters that were born into that family, he wanted to be just like that. And he knew from what he'd been taught in our home that he could. It took him 7 years to join the church, and he did finally join the church. 1 year later, he prepared himself to go on a mission, and then he served a full mission for 2 years, had a great experience, deepened his testimony and his knowledge, and then he was sealed in the temple to his bride. The temple has become a part of his life that gives him great strength and hope and helps him deal with all of those prior experiences that he had in his life that caused confusion for him, loneliness, isolation, feelings of not being worthy or good enough. And he has learned, as he has let the spirit of the temple come into his life, that his Heavenly Father does love him. His Heavenly Father does know him. And when we took him to the temple with the rest of our family and had him sealed to our family, it was one of the crowning experiences of our family's life, and also for him to know now that he was an eternal member of a family. So grateful for the blessings that are available to each and every one of us in the temple. Oh my gosh, I am so over time. Sorry. I leave this testimony with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
So thankful for the beautiful talks we heard with regard to the temple. You know, for us, you know, having Max, our youngest child, go through the temple, it's such a beautiful experience, and it really reinforces the eternal family and what the temple represents. We also like to thank Brother Jackman and Sister Clifford for our beautiful music. And our closing hymn will be 87, God is Love, and the closing benediction will be given by Sister Laura Francis.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this Sabbath day that we have to be here at church together and to worship and learn more about our Savior Jesus Christ. We're grateful for our Savior and the atoning power that comes from Him. We're grateful for all that Thou has given us, and help us to enjoy our Sabbath and learn from one another, and bless those who haven't been able to be here with us today, that they can enjoy their Sabbath as well. And we're grateful for all we have from Thee, and say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.